There's nothing like a group of people working in unity. I'll never forget the Sunday back in 2016, and I think it was in February. And there were so many other good pictures that I could have put up here, and I couldn't find them. We put out the call Sunday morning to gather here in this room to clear all the chairs, which were down through the middle, and the pews that we still had at the time down the outside, take them out and prep the room for renovation, which would begin the next day. We were supposed to gather at 4 p.m. I think it was 4 p.m. But as you might recall, if you got here by 4:15, you missed the fun. The job was done. Everything was cleared out. It wasn't just that we had a huge turnout, which we did, and it proved the adage, many hands make light work, but it also, because we work with joy, with enthusiasm, with great cooperation. It's what happens when we have cleanup day, spring cleanup around the church, which, by the way, here's a shameless plug for that on the first Saturday of June. We enjoy working together. We enjoy being together. We enjoy partying together. We enjoy working together. There were some pictures of the the Ringler boys putting up the scaffolding that we put up so that we could take things out of the ceiling. That was so part of the work. There's nothing like a group of people who are perfectly one. It's something that it's a strength for us, ABC, but we mustn't rest on our laurels. We must maintain our unity and spread it around because the world is watching. They watch with sick fascination as they see what they perceive as infighting and disunity in the church. We need to be building one another up, and Jesus fervently prayed for that to happen for us. He prayed for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. The night before he was crucified, he was praying for us. And so listen to the scripture, John 17, 20 to 26. It's part of the high priestly prayer here. Jesus is praying to his heavenly Father. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you sent me. I made known to them your name. I will continue to make it known that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this prayer where you prayed for us. And I pray that you would anoint this word, to go out to your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in this passage, in this prayer, Jesus is praying for those who will believe. Jesus is praying in this high priestly prayer for his followers whose lives were going to be turned upside down in the next 24 hours after this prayer, as he would be tried and tortured and crucified. They slept just a few yards from him as he wanted them to be praying with him, but they were sleeping because they were tired. The scripture says that they were tired from grief. And as he prayed, they were completely clueless to what was going to happen, really. But he knew, and he knew that they would weather the storm and come out strong and bold and be infused with the Holy Spirit and be spreading the good news of abundant life in Christ and for that eternal life that will come. And they did. They did do that. Pentecost came and Peter preached and thousands of people received Christ and the church was born with an explosion of growth. Jesus had prayed for those who would believe in me through their word, through his disciples' word, and it happened. It happened. It happened at Pentecost. Thousands of people came to the gospel, but it's been happening ever since. It's been happening ever since. Obedient Christ followers have shared the gospel, and hurting souls have responded, and the church has flourished. And people who have come into the church have been drawn by the oneness of the body of Christ. So that's why when disharmony happens, it's so heartbreaking to see the damage that is done to the church and to its witness. We, and my series is called Building One Another Up. We need to build one another up. Since, as he prayed, there's nothing short of complete unity in Jesus' mind as he's praying. Commentator Floyd Filson points out that Jesus looks to the people who will believe in him through the witness of his disciples. That's us. And as this witness spreads, and the church grows, it may be increasingly difficult for his followers to be one in spirit and mutual love. When the group gets bigger, things can get more stressful. So he prays for the unity of the entire church and not merely for a lukewarm or formal unity, but for a vital unity as real and close as that which exists between the Father and the Son, a mutual indwelling which each lives in the other and both are one. Jesus is praying for that. And this unity is the real deal. A false or contrived unity shows its weakness very quickly. Last week when I preached, one person brought up the fact that how can we be unified with people who mess up the gospel so badly? How can we be considered part of that church? And I'm portraying badly how it was presented to me. And there are indeed people who call themselves Christ followers who are teaching a false or deceived message. And that's difficult when we see this happening in the church. If we see it in maybe another church or maybe churches, or maybe somebody is coming in and teaching that when we read it or see it, or there's some kind of witness in the newspaper, and you, oh man, you grit your teeth at that. I'm not talking about that kind of unity, but I know that we need to keep our fighting. It's not good to fight publicly, okay? It's not, you know, I remember the, here's a terrible analogy. I remember the first time my sister ever saw my parents fight. She was horrified, and she was about 30, because mother and daddy did their fighting behind closed doors. Their kids didn't need to see that. They worked their issues out away from us. And they pointed out to us what we did this, but we knew that you didn't need to see it. And they loved each other. They really loved each other, but they didn't always see eye to eye. Now, I'm not saying one or the other of them was teaching false doctrine. I'm just saying that just sometimes it's better not to let your dirty laundry shine for the world to see, because Satan will use that. Satan will use that. And then when you see the information that goes out from that, the world utilizes our angry words against us. So we just need to be careful. A false or contrived unity shows its weaknesses quickly, so we don't fake our unity. We just need to be careful. And that's why our model for oneness must be what we see in the Father and the Son. That's our model. Christian unity is not a human invention. And so Jesus prayed for his Father's direction as he asked that they may become perfectly one. Perfectly one is by heavenly divine. It's not just some kind of pipe dream. It can actually happen. If Jesus had it in mind, then it is more than a possibility for the church. It's a requirement. It's not just something we wish for. It's something that we must have. Leon Morris writes, "This doesn't mean that the unity between the Father and the Son is the same as between believers and God, but it does mean that there's an analogy here. The Father is in the Son and does his work. The Son is in the Father. The two are one, yet distinct." Some Trinitarian stuff here. So in measure, it is with believers. Without losing their identity, they are to be in the Father and the Son. Apart from the Son, they can do nothing. In other words, the unity for which Jesus prays is to lead to a fuller experience of the Father and the Son. And this, in turn, will have the further consequences that the world will believe. The world will look on, and they will learn to know about Jesus from that. So there you have it again. As we are unified, we are a witness to the world. And it's a beautiful cycle. Faith leads to unity, which leads others to faith. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, and they learned a lot. They were changed men from what they had been when Jesus first told them that they could be fishers of men. But there were still bugs that need to be worked out of the disciples. This motley crew still had some work to be done, and they still jockeyed for the most favored spot with Jesus. In Matthew 20, you can find the account of the mother of James and John coming to Jesus and asking that her boys be the ones on each side of him when he became king. The other 10 disciples were really angry about that. But really, they were just wishing that their Jewish mothers would have made the same request. She got to it fast. Can you imagine the nerve of it? And underneath, they're thinking, well, I'd like that too. They were selfish people who needed to learn a lot. Selfishness is a huge deterrent to unity because selfishness does not build up. The disciples eventually got it, and the rest is history. If you just read Acts, you can see that. They built the church together. The needs of everyone was cared for. Even when issues cropped up, like the controversy in that we read in Acts 6 over the care of the Greek widows and orphans, the church worked it out. A God-ordained solution, and we read there, and what they said pleased the whole gathering. Disunity had happened. The Greek widows and orphans were feeling left out of the daily distribution. And the apostles said, well, we have a lot of preaching and teaching to do here. We need some help. And they called up the deacons and they said, we'll keep doing this while the deacons do that. And it says what they said pleased the whole gathering. Unity came back. It's no accident what will happen with unity. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were together. And the Lord added to their number day by day. The world sees Jesus in our unity. So going back to our text in John 17, we see that Jesus makes clear that the oneness of his followers must be clearly evident to the world so that the world may recognize its source, Jesus Christ. Our genuine and united front has an irresistible attractiveness to a divided world. People come to Christ when they see him in us. G. Campbell Morgan calls this passage among the most sacred in all of the sacred pages. And he says, here for his whole church, he, Jesus, expressed two desires and one determination. The first desire was that they may be one. Not only that first group, but the continuity of believing souls through their ministry, that they all may be one in the same way. What for? That the world may believe. We have often quoted that, and I think perhaps permissively, in order to show that if Christianity is divided up into all sorts of sections, we cannot expect the world to believe. I am quite sure that the division of Christendom into sects, S-E-C-T-S, okay, into sects and parties has hindered when the divisions have created bitterness and separation in the spirit. The main thought, again, however, is that being one in vital relationship with each other, because having vital relationship with the Father and the Son, one that is in life and light and love, it is the unity and the manifestation of light and life and love according to the divine that brings conviction and belief to the world. Being perfectly one exhibits light, life and light and love that draws a world that desperately needs all three of them. We live in a dark world. Jesus brings light. And One of the things that people use to stay away from any kind of faith in Jesus Christ, they don't like religion. They don't like organized religion. That's always the excuse. I'm thinking, okay, so you want disorganized religion. And it's an excuse because they heard somebody say that and it sounded good, but it sounds stupid to me, actually. But that, you know, did I say that out loud? Don't spread that around. It just, you know, it says, don't use that excuse. But they also use the excuse of all the denominations and all the church splits. And it is sad. It is sad. But eventually, when we can just get back together and just work together and get over our differences so that we can do what draws us together. You know, John Bouquet is a Baptist at an independent church. I'm a brother in Christ. I'm Anabaptist. But he's one of my best friends. And our churches work together. And just this morning, I got a text from him praying for our church today. That's unity. And so, yeah, they're up there. But, you know, Keith is a donor. You know, Larry is an Overholt. And we're humans. You know, we're all one big family with different last names. Okay, can we use that analogy? Anyway, rant over. Eugene Peterson's message renders Jesus's prayer for us in this way at the beginning of our text, and I'm going to close out my message by quoting it here. And he uses kind of almost like a psalm. He does it very poetically. He says, I'm living not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. It is the goal of the Father and Son that we, their church, be perfectly one. So ABC, let's continually strive for that. Amen? Let's be unified so that others are unified. It starts with us. We can point the finger at others and think, oh man, they're not unified. And just looking down our noses at them, that shows disunity. Let's just love on one another and be like Jesus and let that witness work over. He will judge those who are spreading a false message or a message that is going down the wrong path. We are to love one another. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. We bless your name, Heavenly Father. We are thankful for the way you were